I picked out faces that were, I kept looking at those. To be happy in Jesus. To be happy in Jesus. When did you last have some real happiness? Glory. You know that joy is a deep, deep thing in the soul. But happiness is wonderful too. I know we're told that happiness depends on the things that happen. Well, some glorious things happen to me all the time. Amen. Glorious, wonderful things keep on happening to me. Yes, I must be true and true to the Lord. Marvelous. Amen. Odd and unexpected moments. Fancy that. The boy said 477. And I got all happy. Yes. Praise God. Oh, it's warm. Happy and peaceful. Happy. Glory. Go on then. To be happy in Jesus. Go on then. What was it our brother said last night? He giveth his beloved sleep. So he said, well, take it. Glory to God. To be happy in the Lord. The famous statement of old George Muller, who said once when he was asked the secret of his life, he said, about 14 years ago, I discovered that the principal thing in my daily life was to establish myself in the beginning of the day and establish my soul happy in God. Happy in God. When were you last happy in God? When did you sing and dance and praise Him and clap your hands like a happy child? When did you last do it? When were you so thrilled with Jesus? When was it that you last did it? Or have you ever, has there ever been a first time that you did it? Hallelujah. You know the story of the deacon that was standing at the church door inviting people into the service, don't you? This is quite true. He went out of the road and he invited them in, and the pastor passing by said, no thanks, we've got enough trouble of our own. After looking at his face, that's right. Hallelujah. Beloved. The world is miserable. Hallelujah. I'm glad they are, because that's one of the ways finally we come to our senses. When we can see that there is joy in God. And the Lord wants us to be very, very happy indeed. And rejoice at all times and glory in God. How simple it is, beloved, the formula in the hymn. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, I told you I'd tell you the story of Isabel. Really, I tell it because I like it. If you've heard it, you'd have my permission to fold up for 10 minutes. It might take me there to tell the story, but it's one of those delightful things that causes a preacher's heart to be happy indeed, and to be filled with awe and wonder at the glory of God. It happened, I said, delightful things are always happening to me, you see. It happened in a certain city in which I had been invited to preach, and in the home of a young couple who have two delightful children. The oldest one is called Isabel. She is 7. And on the Sunday night I had preached in this particular building and felt constrained to give people a chance to respond unto the Lord. And we could pass over that side of it. But when I got back home, Mummy came to me and she said, if you have time, I suppose it was fairly late, and I suppose she thought I was fairly tired, and I'd gone home to rest. But then you see, people don't really know the ways in which you find rest. And she said, if you have time, Isabel would like to talk to you. Oh, I said, all right, and I set myself in a nice armchair. And I said, if you'd like to bring in my cup of milk and send in Isabel, we'll talk together. So in came the cup of milk. In came Isabel. The milk was for me, not for Isabel. She was going to give me some meat, I thought. And she came in the door, all shy, you know. And I said, what do you want, Isabel? She said, I want to talk to you. I said, well, come on then. She came across the room. I sat on my lap, on my knee, in that armchair. And I said, what is it you wanted to say now? And she said, well, you know, tonight in church when you were asking people to come out. This is the way she put it. This is the way it struck her mind. When you were asking people to come out, I felt I wanted to come out too. So I said, did you? Yes. Well, why didn't you? Well, she said, I didn't know what for. I trust that wasn't because I'd preach like a haystack. I don't think it was really, because other things were done. But she said, I don't know what for. Oh, I said, that didn't matter. You should still come. If you felt God wanted you to come, you should have come. She said, well, I didn't know what for. So I said, well, let's imagine you had come out. And I said to you, Isabel, what do you want? Well, she said, that's it. I didn't know. I said, no, but never mind. Supposing you had, you'd really come out. And I've said to you, Isabel, what do you come out for? And you're just going to say the same thing, see? And I passed on and said, I've said to you, Isabel, do you want to have your sins forgiven? She said, my sins are forgiven. Well, supposing I'd said, do you want to be saved? I am saved. Supposing I'd have said to you, do you want Jesus to come into your heart? She said, Jesus is in my heart. He comes into my room, she said, one night when I was three. Listen, when I was 3 years old, she said, listen, some of you are twice there, perhaps getting on for Christ, three times. She said, when I was three, Jesus comes into my room one night. He wanted to come into my heart. And I opened my heart and he came in. I thought, well, now what do I say? What did the child want? Ah, let us learn. What did the child want? She knew she wanted something. I thought, well, three, that's tremendous. Actually, I knew that because she'd been in a primary class that my wife had taught. And I was astounded one Sunday when my wife had come home and she said, do you know what Isabel said today? I said, no. Well, she said, She asked if she could talk to the to the primaries. I said, well, what did you do? She said, well, I said she could. And so she told the primary, she said, I'm free. And last night, Jesus came into my heart. Praise God. Testimony, 3 years of age. And one little body across the circle said, what do you mean? Well, I'm saved. She knew. What do you mean, saved? She said. This other little body across the room. See? And so Isabel said, well, Jesus has came into my heart and he's made it all clean. He made it all clean and he's forgiven me all my sins. 3 years of age, she said. He's come in. And this other little body said, well, I'm saved then. So, he's come into my heart too. This is mutual evangelism, isn't it? But anyway, that's just a reference back. That had happened. And so I'm sitting there now with Isabel on my knee. I'm thinking, well, what is it this child wants? So I said to her, well, Isabel, listen. You say that Jesus has come into your heart and that he has forgiven you all your sins. So she said, yes. And you know you're saved. She said, yes. So I said to her, well, how about the Holy Spirit? Have you ever known anything about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, Isabel? And her head was starting to nod, but why not? And I said, when I saw her head was nodding, I got a little bit further. And I said, and have you ever spoken in tongues? Has the Holy Spirit ever come on you and you worship God a bit? Oh, yes, she said. I said, what? Yes, she said. The Holy Ghost came on me, she said, Mr. North, one night, and I spoke in tongues. I said, do you mean to tell me that when we're all worshiping God, first speaking in tongues, perhaps on a Sunday morning, we're worshiping God, that you worship God too in another tongue? She said, yes, sometimes. I thought, well, praise God. Some people think they're going to do it all the time. They think they're going to lose their spiritual life if they don't, or something. Listen to a little child. Sometimes, she said. Oh, now, where do I go from here? What would you have done? She still knew. I said, and yet you felt you ought to come up tonight. She said, yes. I said, well, let me ask you this. Have you ever really been to Jesus? I don't know what you would have said at your wit then. Have you ever been to Jesus and gone to him? And you remember that he said, if anybody's thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Have you ever been to Jesus and drunk from Jesus? You know what I mean, don't you? I said, you know what it means to drink, don't you? Yes, I know. But if she'd have been 3 times her age, I'd have had to spend half an hour explaining what it was. See, that's the trouble. We think that complication means advancement. But she knew exactly. And I said, has it? And I said, do you know, Isabel, that what it says in the Bible, that Jesus said that his Father and himself Oh, come with the Holy Spirit, live in you forever and ever and ever. You see, she said, no, I've never done that. I said, is that what you want to do then? And she said, yes. I said, come on then, you drink. And I put my arms around her a little tighter and held her a little closer. And we drank and drank and drank together. A little child of 7. A little child of 7. Have you ever done that? And you make every excuse and say it's so hard. You say it's so difficult. You say you can't understand. You probably couldn't say a more self-condemning thing than that. For the Lord Jesus Christ has made it all so simple. All so available, all so receivable, that nobody will believe the Lord Jesus Christ for believing their own mind and their own ideas, but just to come, deliberately put away all your own ideas, deliberately put them away. They've never done you much good, have they? Look at the bondage of misery that's written on your face at times. Look at the darkness, look there. Look at the furrows on your brow, the cleavage that nearly splits you down here. Look at it. Instead of being where God wants you to be, living in all the delightsomeness of being happy in Jesus. Happy in Jesus. Oh, beloved, I know there are times when each one of us has to be very, very serious. I can assure you I was never more serious in all my life than with my arms round little Isabel. I was seeking to find out what she was needing from God. But oh, to be happy in the Lord as He wants us all to be. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory on. He wants that. He must have that. And this you're saying, all the happenings of my life, they're enough to pull my heart out of me. They're enough to split my mind. They're enough to do this, that, and the other. As though the happenings of life were more powerful than the constant ministry of Jesus in the Spirit, lighting up His glorious face, opening up all heaven, bringing you into these great foretastes of that which He has laid up in His heart for them that trust in Him. Beloved, sin cannot overcome righteousness. The world cannot overcome the kingdom of God. Satan cannot overcome God. Events in the flesh cannot overcome the Spirit. Isn't this gospel of ours the pure and simple testimony that God in Christ has overcome everything? But we put this word overcoming on such a peak, we put it up there, blessed are the overcomers, and I know it's in the lips of Jesus, but He doesn't intend you to think as overcoming as a sort of a class of very high saints or something like that. Nay, this is the basic norm of spiritual life. Amen. That's right. Listen, when Mary from God, by the Spirit, for she was under the power of the Spirit, the power of the highest, shall come upon thee, and she conceived the seed of God in the mouth of the angel, the word of the living God coming from this messenger. She simply went out to her cousin Elizabeth, and everything that was in Elizabeth became alive and leapt inside her. That's right. It's in your Bible. Glory, glory, glory. That's it. Amen. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And then listen to her. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Amen. This is it. This is it, beloved. To be able to move in all this glory of the revelation of God. You say, well, it may be all right for you, but you look at my family. I got this one that's not in, my husband's not there, or my wife's not this, or my children. A dear mother came to me not so long ago, and she said, Mr. North, she said, I just got my boy in time, speaking his name. Just got him in time, just saved him. Mr. North, she said, he'd started, he'd just beginning to start on a gamble that he gambled that he could do this and it wouldn't get a hold on him. He'd started it. God just got hold of him and said, oh, that's a tragic thing, isn't it? That's a tragic thing. Ah, beloved. Listen to old King David. You listen to him. God hath made a covenant with me. All in it, all things and sure. This is all my delight, though my house be not so with God. 2 Samuel 22, you'll find it. Though it be not so with my house. That's right. Look at him! Absalom! Absalom! My son, if ever we want to be able to preach of a man who lived in treachery, if ever there was a hypocrite of the hypocrites in David's own family, there he was, hung at last in an oak by his luxuriant hair, speared to the heart by a man who would cut him down to the ground for his Lord David's sake. Though it be not so with my house, this is my delight. God made a covenant with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And it was he who gave them songs to sing, called Psalms. It was he who set Asaph and his sons. It was he who made them bring forth the instruments of music. It was he who danced before the Lord. It was he who despised what his wife said when she despised him. Michael, it isn't so with her. Absalom, it isn't so with her. Kingdom splitting in twain, but my heart shall rejoice in the Lord. Self within us, who delight in the presence of the Lord, who know our God face to face. Go on, answer that question. Look at the old prophet that prophesied all the things that were done, as you know the prophets of old didn't so much speak about the future as that they told forth God's mind and heart about the present. And he was saying all these things, the tragedies that had happened. He says, though the vine tree doesn't blossom and the fig tree doesn't do this, he said, though there are no cattle in the field or in the stall, nothing, he said, yet my heart. That's right. A man with a personal experience of God. Who knew him? Oh, glory. This then is the testimony of the saints. This is it. Glory. We may at times weep over the sins of others. We may at times look out over the gloom of the earth. But glory be to the name of the Lord. In this we do rejoice and praise Him that we have such a present and personal and powerful inward experience of Christ that no one anywhere at any time can do anything against it. In fact, if I believe my Bible and understand my scriptures aright, all the things that are against it, they minister to it. By contrast, amen, their evil powers, when they come against us, are by the glory of the Holy Ghost turned into such means of blessing that in the end, what was it this dear man Boone Grant says, at times he wishes he was back in his old cell, under the streets, there in the darkness, because of the glory of God that was there, because of the joy that made him dance before the Lord. Glory! Don't you see, I suppose really the things in the end that we need to make us dance before the Lord is a good lot of trouble and persecution. I suppose so, if I understand from Dr. Boone Grant. Right? If I've rightly read the situation, it's because it's all too easy for us, I think. And we are settling down upon our knees. And we're getting all sort of pious. Instead of being happy and rejoicing in the Lord. That's it. There's nothing so infectious as the gaiety of a soul that's carried away in God. Nothing. Hallelujah. Gaiety. Gaiety. God loves gaiety. Doesn't He? I'd invite you again to look at New Jerusalem if you think not. Have a good look. Love's gaiety. These are gorgeous places, and I hope there are no cliff people here. Everybody come in. I want to talk to you quiet. Went out to walk this morning. Can you hear me at the back? Walked along. Walked up towards the house. Won't tell you where. I was with a couple of other people. Won't tell you their names. Walked and looked round. And as we continued our journey, I said, "Do you know the place here, don't you?" Now he's going to run down the establishment. No, I'm not. "You know the trouble here, don't you? I'm talking about our immediate surroundings." "No," I said, "there's too much dark green. If I was to live here, I'd have that lot taken out. I'd have that lot out. I won't tell you what. Now, if I say the name, you'll go around looking and find the spot where I was. So I have that, I leave that tree there. I have all this down. Too much dark green depresses. There wasn't any gaiety." And the person said, "Now I know that. I've been in places at times and I've suddenly got my head." Yes, that's a trouble. Now I have an artist on my right. I'm not consulting him, I'm telling him. That's right. All this. You see, you want some gay flowers here. You want some colour here. That's my problem, isn't it? Amen. This is it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, this person said, people I know would have said that there were demons here. I said, that's nonsense. People don't know the difference between demons and a dark person and things in nature. That's the way people talk when they don't understand what they're talking about. You can live in such an atmosphere around you that you can depress yourself into the ground. That's right. Here's the wonderful truth, beloved. The gaiety and the colour and the glory and the radiance of the blessed Christ. Look at him in Revelation chapter 1. Look at him. Look at him. This glorious Lord, he's here. That's the one that's in the midst of us. His face is shining like the sun. Hey, isn't that wonderful? Glory, glory, glory. He was right in the midst of the light. In the midst of the light he was. Amen. I know it says there's a rainbow round the throne. Only one mention of green there except the emerald. In sight like an emerald, that great green rainbow. Amen. There it's all glory. There it's all color. There it's all magnificence. There, beloved, it's all beauty. Are you like that inside? Has the Spirit transcribed these glorious things into your life? Are you a written epistle of heaven itself? Is glory opening up to others in you? Does light come? Do you smell sweet? Do you taste right? As our brother has told us this morning, we all taste the same. We all smell the same. We all shine the same. We all say the same in the end. I don't know whether I got to say the same as you or you say the same as me. But we all will in the end. Beloved, this is it. Joy and glory and blessing of the self-revealing God in your life. Listen to Stephen. Stephen is standing before a company of people that he knows are ready to wash their hands in his blood. He knows it. He knows it. And this is what he says. His face shining like an angel's. Oh, amen. He says this, something like this, when he starts at the book. He says, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. Didn't say the God of gloom. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. Hallelujah. Abraham started off in a flash of glory. We, beloved, are to come into the full blaze of it. Amen. What are you? Are you? I want to say to you, beloved, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that if you're not in this wonder of the revealed glory of the Lord Jesus Christ within your own heart, there's something wrong with your experience. Amen. Something, moreover, that God would deal with. Something that he would take away. Something that he would take away. Something that he would be wasting their lives. I want to tell you too that though it were God works by the power of the preached word, I have discovered that the preached word, if it be not accompanied with a radiant life, has lost most of its power. Remember the story of, no thank you, we've got enough trouble of our own. He was the deacon of a church. Oh, beloved, the best advertisement for the Lord Jesus Christ is a lie, transformed and irradiated by his glory. That's true. Something that's infectious. We're living in days, beloved, when troubles are multiplying, just piling up. You know that. I was at a meeting of ministers in the town where I'm living now the other morning. A limited company it was. And Brother Bob Love was there with me. We were invited to go, and because I'm moving about so much and can't usually go, I took advantage of this invitation and went along. And, beloved, things were said, and I am not in a position to say to you all the things that were said, or even the background from which it came. But after this meeting, I went home and let 24 hours pass by, or somewhat less. And the next morning, I got up with this on my spirit, and I felt constrained to write the good brother who had given us an invitation to go, and say to him what the Lord made so clear to me in the meeting. That all the things that had been said, and then we were given the sort of typescript, manuscript of it all, it all arose from fear. All a lot of it had arisen from fear. I dare not tell you the denominations involved, and the background of the typescript that was adopted as minutes in these denominations. You'd be mightily surprised. Fear. Fear is governing everything. People are not moving in the love and glory and the consciousness of God that makes them forget everything else and behave like a child. And let the Lord have them. And let the Lord be solely responsible. And let the Lord, let him do everything. If he wants you to be killed, then let yourself be killed. If he wants you to drown, then be drowned. If he wants you to move around and walk all over the country, then go. Jesus Christ himself went in a pair of sandals and a scarf, I expect. They had a bag with some money in, but a thief kept that. He was always robbing the till, apparently. This is the way, beloved. This is what God wants. Say, his disciples, I said, look at those birds up there, yes. Look at them. You say, I watched them out of the window this morning. Swallows swooping by ceaselessly swooping by. They didn't care. They lived for the moment. I suppose they caught a gnat and didn't stray at it. I suppose they did. And they were as happy and carefree and on the way. And they haven't even got the sense to know. Now we've got sense to know. We have abilities to trust. Trust is wings. He says, look at the flowers. Look at them, he says. Glorious! They're glorious! Absolutely glorious! Amen! They have no sense to know either! They can't enjoy it! You think they're for your enjoyment! They can't enjoy it! But we, beloved, have been so blessed of God! We who have a heart that can know! We, beloved, who can trust the Lord, he's expecting us to do it. Yes. He said, even if you're persecuted, when you're persecuted, leap, shout for joy. Shout for joy. Glory to God. Glory to God. What do you mean if the devil persecutes you? Well, of course. What did you think you've got to do if the devil comes on you and persecutes you or comes at you? You've got to phone me up or something. Phone God up. But before you phone, rejoice. Say, glory, Lord. Believe you're in the right way. Believe it. I dare to believe it, you see. I dare to believe it. I don't care what anybody else thinks. Well, you know, in the right way. That's not the That's not the point. You've got to dare to believe God. Then you're right out, you see. You're out on it. Then you're gone. You're almost certainly beyond everybody else's ken. Take one short step and go. That's what the Lord is wanting. This is the truth. Amen. And in the end, it doesn't matter what way you've come, what you've been, how involved, how deeply, how extensively you may have engaged in any wickedness, folly, sin, perversion, darkness, or anything else. That doesn't matter. If you will believe God, if you will step out in Him, if you will trust Him, He will at that moment take you on, I'm going to say is the right word, I don't know. He'll see you through. He will, beloved, that you should be happy and rejoice in the Lord beyond everything else. Can you do that? Can you do that? Do you know I'm expecting to get happier as the days go by? I am, you know. I really am. I mean, if we still keep having conferences in the year 2001, I expect to be so happy and able to skip about and rejoice that you'll hardly recognize me. Yes, I do. I've somehow come to see this very clearly from God, that this is the coursing of His mighty Spirit. And other things can't clog you up or cloy you up. Other things can't get in. Because, beloved, somewhere, like Jesus, you've learned the secret. Though you may be a lamb that can bear all things in perfect love, you're also a mighty eagle that soars up to God, or a glorious dove. You see, this is that strange but glorious mixture of everything. Like old Paul says, who does this and I don't burn, he says. Who says, who talks about burdens and cares? It comes on me daily, he says. Oh, the care of all churches. And I gave someone permission not so long ago. I said, the next time you talk about me, you say, that man North, he's always in need of deliverance. He needs delivering, that man. You all have my permission to say it, publish it everywhere. I need deliverance. Always, every minute. Paul said he did. That's right. I don't need the tradition. 2 Corinthians 1. He says, God delivered. He does deliver. He was being delivered. He was always in need of deliverance. So am I. But not from demons, though. Glory. Not from worries and cares. Glory be to God. I sort of found the drain down which they've got to be for. Amen. And he says he will yet deliver me. Amen. We should all be in need of deliverance. There you are. What a conference, brother. Hallelujah. You see, this is the truth. Marvelous. So all say, you know that man will need deliverance, that man. It's the way you say it. Yes. Praise Him that I have it.
Glory.
Amen. I know I have it too, you see. That's the point. You've got to know that you know. Do you know that? Now, is it something specially stored up for a sort of an elite company? There aren't any elite people, except we're all elite. That's all one can say. It's the glory of knowing this instantaneous revelation of God within your own heart. This refusal to accept everything else. It isn't something that I consciously do now. I used to have to start that way, but now I sort of got a spirit that does it. You can't understand it. It's just a sort of a takeover in the end. That's right, beloved, it's absolutely right. It's a takeover. God takes us over. That's the meaning of it all. And when, in the end, beloved, that this has taken place in you, you will know that you're in that glorious position that the Bible speaks of. That it is God that worketh in you. That's right. And you will learn how to take your decisions. You will learn how to think. The attitudes of life will change. That's right. Striving your seeds. Absolutely. You bear the walk with God. As God intended a walk with him and ever has. There is a walk with God this day that exceeds and supersedes anything that Adam knew in the garden. Anything and everything. You and I must be now, I suppose, that we ought to come. Break this bread and drink this wine, I was going to say, together. Now as we come in, beloved, let all our hearts be in this glory of the knowledge and revelation of Jesus Christ. You just consciously and deliberately believed him. No relaxation of mind and muscle and nerve and everything. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Let the Holy Ghost minister to you. Let the Lord do it. Amen.